thunder, 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 thunder. Oh!
What are you looking at, nerd? Huh?
Thunder nerds,
thunder nerds,
thunder nerds.
Get those nerds!
Welcome to Thunder Nerds. I'm Brian Hinton.
I'm Janelle
Pizarro. And I'm Frederick Philip von Weiss. And thank you for consuming the Thunder Nerds.
And popcorn.
Popcorn. Pow! A conversation with the people behind the technology that love what they do.
And do tech good.
Touchdown! Boom! Yeah. Football!
Woo!
Yeah! Bringing it to y'all. Hey, today we're talking with, at the Front End Design Conference, with Tara Simon.
Yeah, you got it right.
I did got it right. I got
so
it right,
proud
y'all.
Of you.
Yeah. I'm good with names. Currency.
Yeah. And we are in St. Pete, Florida at the Palladium. This is the 10th year of the Front End Conference.
Ooh,
yeah, yeah, 10. That's like this many plus more.
Well, actually, not 10th year, 10th event. Because remember, they had two in 1 year or something like that.
Yeah, Mr. Fancy. Technical. Yeah. It's the 10th anniversary.
It's 10.
It's the 10th anniversary at what theater?
Okay.
10th anniversary.
Palladium.
At the Palladium Theater. Yeah, yeah. It's where, yeah, it's pretty awesome.
And they have great food. Look at this.
Delivered and delivered by Dan Denny.
Yes.
Which is,
yeah. Love you, Dan.
The best.
Yeah. Kisses.
Oh my gosh. Okay. All right. No, no. You don't. Okay. No, just kidding. Let's keep going.
Whatever that was. So whatever was that?
That was a little awkward.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We'll revisit that. Tara, tell us about you.
So, do you want the real good stuff, or you want me to tell you what I have to say?
I want good stuff. I want good, bloody, juicy stuff.
All right. So, I am known as a Southern Belle with Yankee flair. So
Southern Belle. I'm sorry to interject. So, you're from where?
I'm from, well, born and raised in Hickory, North Carolina. You got to say it with the twang if you're going to get it right.
That's right, y'all.
You can't say all the syllables that are a part of it. It's just because it is Hickory, but you just go Hickory.
Hickory.
Yeah. You got a little drop the lip,
nice,
curl
nice.
It a little, you know?
Hickory.
But currently live in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Ooh,
ooh, yeah.
I love Raleigh.
It's a good space. But I spent quite a bit of time being a country mouse in the city streets of New York. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And realized I hated every minute of it and needed to get back to my southern roots. So I'm now back in Raleigh. I've been there. I thought my husband and I were only going to be there for 2 years. And then it ended up 9 years later, we're still there. So, hey, it's doing something right for us.
Yeah.
And my background's in project management. So I started doing project management before you even knew what project management was. And
what is it?
Well, some people think it's herding cats. Others,
I've heard about that.
Yeah, herding cats. Others think it is glorified secretaries. So always sending out the meeting notes or booking things, you know, but it's really a lot more about that. Like for project management, it's actually being sort of the cheerleader and the team that like member that helps keep the passion going in the project.
Do you have?
Ooh, rah!
Do you have them?
Pom-poms?
I mean,
I didn't bring them with me.
What color?
A girl never tells what color her pom-poms are.
You heard it here first.
All right.
But for me, for project management, it's really all about like having that sort of voice for the client and helping bring your team together and making sure you're always focusing on the customer experience side of things.
Mm. Yeah. And how long have you been doing that?
So I've been in project management for probably 15 plus years, but now I've kind of grown and I have a team. I have like an awesome team of 10 back home that I get to help coach and train and make them even better at what they do. And then I focus a lot on operations and process now for our company.
Oh, nice. That's exciting.
Yeah, I like it.
So and what company?
So I work for Point Source, a Globant company. So they were acquired in July by Globant. And they are awesome. So it's really cool to have an Argentinian-based company and being able to see like all the different parts of the world and where our company continues to grow and expand. So that's where really operations and process plays into effect, because when you start acquiring new companies, you have a whole different business model of how you're doing things, right? And how do you make sure that, you know, the company that's based out of Seattle feels as though they're a part of the company that's in Argentina or a part of the company that's in Raleigh?
Yeah. So you just got finished with your
just came off.
You're fresh off the
stage.
So what was it all about? Tell us about your time.
So today what I wanted to focus in on is I started just becoming obsessed with trying to understand everything about the different generations that are out there, right? And a lot of it has to do with I am a generational misfit. Like, I have no idea. Like, when you look at it, for the year that I was born, I fall into Gen X and I fall into Gen Y, but I don't relate 100% with either. And I was like, really got kind of interested in, it's like, well, how are people like focused in designing and trying to utilize technology that will be important to me? And now what are we doing to make sure that we're getting that next generation that's out there, which is Generation Z?
Yeah.
And so that's what I was talking about.
Cool. That's interesting. And what are some of the ways?
Yeah.
Oh, so for Generation Z, some of the big things about them is they want it to be said with images, right? Like, words do not matter as much to them. And you can't just do away with words altogether, right?
Sure.
But you got to make sure that you have content that is visually appealing. They want it to be authentic. And this is the generation that is out to change the world, right? Like, they have a voice and they want it to be heard. And they relate so well with the brand that they know is looking to make a difference.
That's interesting. I mean, you could say the same thing about the baby boomers.
Well, so that's what's kind of interesting about it is what they're saying now is like, which is also why Gen X kind of ended up being like the lost generation, because all you started to hear about a lot is like the baby boomers are fighting with the millennials, right? Like, the baby boomers are the ones that care about like making sure they have, you know, dollars and making sure that they are focused on hard work. And that's where this Gen Z is coming from as well. What's interesting is Gen Z, their parents are majority are from Gen X, and Gen X is the ones that have been through like seeing what a recession looked like, and they don't want their kids to come back and live at home with them. They want them to go out and strive. And so that's where Gen Z is starting to get this like work ethic and wanting to do better and be better and save their money and focus on that.
And that can kind of relate to getting jobs as well. Like,
absolutely.
When they do finally get those jobs, their first jobs, even if it's, you know, working at a McDonald's or anything like that, they're trying to make the best out of their own situation. Like, they're going to start off at McDonald's, but for a reason, maybe to pay for college or for, you know, other things like that. So,
yeah, I mean, it's really cool to kind of look at like the difference between Gen Y and Gen Z of what they are looking for out of the workforce, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for millennials, a lot of it was about how quick can I make the next dollar, right? It's like they grew up in the early mindset of entrepreneurs. Like, they watched Mark Zuckerberg at 23 become a billionaire in his college dorm room, right? So it's all about open workspace, having more flexibility for them from a work lifestyle. But whereas for Gen Z, they're more focused on, they just want to do good. And so they're not looking to job hop. They are looking to find a company that has meaning and value for them. And they are less likely to care about like, okay, when's my next raise going to be? Or if I go here, I'm going to make more money. Instead, their passion lies in how do I continue to grow and advance who I am within this job that I'm at.
Yeah, you know, we just had a conversation. I think it might have actually been, I know we keep talking about our Quan Liu, where we were talking about what that generation wants out of a company. And I think one of the things we were talking about was that they would really, oh no, you know what? It was Amanda Iyer. And she was talking about how they really want to have more interaction with their the company. Like, things like, yeah, I want a review every few weeks. I want to know, give me input. Like, they want an actual authentic partnership, where maybe the thought a few years ago, 10, 20 years ago, was more, I work at this place, I have a boss, and that's as far as the relationship goes. Where you're talking about, it's an actual partnership with an authentic deliverable or set of agendas.
Right.
That we both want to achieve.
Yeah, it's less about the whole everyone gets a trophy mentality, right?
Yeah.
Like, they don't want to be told that they're doing good just to hear that they're doing good. Like, they actually want to know that what they're working on and what they're accomplishing is
matters.
And it's not just for the end result of like a business, but also internally for their own company, that what they're doing is helping to shape and change the business that they work for, not just their clients.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and ultimately the world too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's why they relate more to brands that, like, you look at something. One of my friends started this company where for every headband that she sells, a child with cancer also gets a headband. And she started it because of, you know, whenever you're going through chemo and you're having these experiences of like losing your hair, you just want to feel pretty, you know, you just want something out there. And she wanted to make something that would make others feel pretty. And that is the kind of thing that this generation is really focused in on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's amazing. And having that kind of actual authentic connection.
Yeah.
So tell us more about what your role is here in the Front End Design Conference. I know you've spoken here last year.
I did.
And it was pretty spectacular.
Well, thank you.
Yes. So you were given this wonderful vest.
I did.
That was pretty awesome.
I have my own like members only vest.
Nice.
Pretty exciting. There's like, I think two girls now that have that. So girl power.
You wear it around town?
Absolutely. Nice. I wish I had a Harley to ride. Like when I have that vest on, it's instead, you know, I'm on like my little 10 speed.
If you need to talk to anybody about motorcycles, I know some.
Oh yeah. Nice. I like it. But no, so I met Gene and those guys probably 3 years ago. And I started speaking because one of the things that you start to realize is when you do work in project management or you work in operations, you start to realize that we are such a huge part of the entire company, and we work hand in hand with devs, and we work hand in hand with designers and UX, but we're not the ones that are actually getting to create things. And what I wanted to be able to do is start kind of putting a voice from the project management and business side of things and saying, here's the value that we bring. And though you may not realize it, like we are out there and we are helping you create, even though we're not hands on keyboard.
Yeah, you're the web connecting.
Right. And that's kind of where, like, when I started talking to Gene about it, I was like, look, you know, I can talk about a bunch of different things, but at the end of the day, like, I really want to help bring this group together because, you know, there are times where, like, one of the things that drives me the most crazy is whenever I have a designer or a developer come up to me and they say, God, I've never had a good project manager before. And I'm like, well, why? Like, why are you saying that? What is it about? Like, what happens? And they're like, oh, well, they're just constantly asking me questions, or they're like trying to get this done. And I'm
you
like,
mean doing their job.
Right. And so I'm like, well, let's look at why they're doing that. I was like, do you realize that the reason why they're coming up and asking you these things is because they're trying to protect you from an overbearing client that is basically yelling at them to the point where you want to hide under your desk with a thing of these lovely, delicious brownies and eat them until you feel comfortable again.
I do.
You do?
I do that.
Like right now. I'll be right back.
Well, it's setting that client expectation so the developer or designer doesn't have to deal with that. They could concentrate on what they're hired to do, like that actual design or development work.
Yeah.
You're actually the face of the company. You're the person that's actually holding that project together. And delegating to the right people.
Right.
You're the people behind the people.
I'm the people behind the people.
We're with people skills, damn it.
But it's also one of those things,
secretly,
too.
Secretly, she dislikes all people, though.
I do. I just like everyone. But no, one of the things, too, that you start to realize is a lot of the people that attend conferences like this don't necessarily work for other companies, but they work for themselves. And there are things that you need to understand from a freelance perspective and from a business perspective of how do you make sure you're budgeting your projects the right way? Or how do you deal with those difficult conversations when you've got a client that is screaming down your neck? And those are the things that I like to be able to come and help bring value to. That's one of the things last year when I spoke, it was all about how to deal with different client personality types.
Yeah. And scope creep.
And scope creep.
Yes. Yep. That one was like a big takeaway for me because.
Was it because I TLC in that deck?
Yeah. But yeah, that was a huge thing. I didn't even know scope creep was a thing. I was
just starting out.
It is a big thing.
It's a huge, very terrifying thing. And then literally like 2 months after that, I dealt with it myself, which was just like, right?
Oh, yeah.
But y'all, stop drooling. Stop drooling.
One of those has my name on it.
There's some food off camera for people that are looking at what we're looking at or listening, wondering. We're all ready to get up out of our chairs.
We're talking to Tara. Oh, that's most important.
Yeah. Ryan, you can bring those over if you want.
I mean, I feel like everyone would understand.
Yeah.
But no, but like when you talk about it, like the one thing that people start to think about is like, scope creep, right? Like that seems to be the one that's the easiest to find for people. But there's other types of creeps that are out there. And I think the one, not this
what?
Guy.
But,
I mean,
for audio listeners, Brian was pointing at me.
But I mean, the one that's always like the hardest to like understand that's happening is hope creep. And we all do
hope creep.
So hope creep is when you just basically keep hoping that it's going to get better, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so you just keep working and working and working, but you're not ever admitting that you're behind or that you're struggling or that you need help. Mm-hmm. And then it comes to D-Day, the day that this thing is due and you never finished. And that's what hope creep is.
That's something that we probably don't think about.
Yeah. Like, those feels are so real.
What do you think, too, about, you were talking about describing to a designer, like, they said they never had a good project manager. What do you think how ego plays a role into that, where they go, you know what, don't talk to me, I'm doing my work, I know what I'm doing?
So one of the biggest things from a project management perspective is you have to learn how to deal with all personality types, mm-hmm. and you have to realize how do you work with those different personality types.
Brian pointed at me again for the audio listeners.
So one of the things to be aware of is you have
trouble.
So you've got some, you know, if you have a designer that is like, I know exactly what I need, yada, yada, yada. Like, I just leave me be, like, I've got this. Well, then you need to figure out what's the best way of communicating with them, right? And so to me, like, I'll set up a communication rhythm with them and I'll say, mm-hmm. look, I'm only going to disrupt you if it is like red alert, like something bad has happened. And the way I want to do it is I'm going to walk to your desk, right? I was like, but if I just need something and I don't need you to respond right away, I'm going to send you an email and just respond in 24 hours and we're good. And so putting sort of that like communication plan in place with the team members that you're working with, they know that you're not trying to be nagging. If you come to their desk, they know that that means there's something seriously wrong and you need them to stop what they're doing.
Yeah. Establishing a process.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, and making it understood what's going to happen and why it's going to happen. Yeah. It makes absolute sense.
Yeah. Good communication.
You're not their parent. You're their peer.
Exactly.
And
you
I
don't
want
to be their parent.
I don't want to be their parent. I don't want to be their babysitter.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
There's a reason I don't have children of my own.
Go to your room.
Well, how is it like, I don't know if you've dealt with this recently, but going into a team that's not had a project manager before, or has had only, you know, just Jira or something like that, and then coming in being like, well, I'm managing your projects now.
Move over, Jira tickets.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that, again, it always starts with sort of process and communication, right? Like, I think where that really becomes difficult is if you have a completely remote team and everyone's working in every different location and they're always kind of siloed in their own environment, right? Because you don't get to have that, like, face-to-face interaction as constantly as you would like. And so, again, one of those things is setting up the right rhythms in place. If you work with a fully, like, team that is all remote, do video conferences. It is the best way to be able to understand like what someone is saying and like get to read their facial expression, because sometimes I say a lot more than words. And then also make sure that when you're working with a team that's never dealt with a project manager before, that they understand why you are there, that you're not there to take over and you're not there because what they've been doing is wrong, but you're there to help improve what they're working on.
Right. You want to make them superheroes.
Exactly.
Yeah. You're like making a team of superheroes.
Yes.
That's literally your job. How awesome is that?
I left my cape though.
You can have a cape.
You always wear your cape. It's fine.
No, if you wore your cape.
Not all the heroes wear capes.
That's actually true. They shouldn't.
They get caught in airplanes.
Right.
Not capes.
Wait, what?
Incredible.
Yeah.
Not capes.
You get caught in
airplanes.
That guy, right?
Yeah. Isn't it incredible I didn't see it?
I mean, you can't really do that unless you've seen it.
Yeah, pretty good joke.
So you're in Raleigh. Why did you originally
around the rally.
Okay.
Anyway,
why did you originally move there? Like for work, or for you're like, ooh, this is a nice place. Want
to
go there?
So I went to school in Raleigh.
Okay. Cool.
I went to NC State. Go Wolfpack. I don't even know what that was.
That's a wolf back.
I think a wolf would. I think it'd be better.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah.
So that. So I went to school. I graduated from NC State in 02 and then left for a while. But the one thing that kept coming back is Raleigh is becoming a huge tech scene right now. It is. There is so much that is evolving in that area. And that's why I really wanted to be back there. And so I moved there. I moved back in 2009. And even in the course of like since 09 to now, like seeing how drastically the area has changed and the companies that are coming in and creating headquarters. And like, we're still holding out hope that, you know, Amazon will decide to open up a headquarters there, but
just have to rename the city to Amazon.
Oh, you know, it just doesn't have the right rhythm, the right sound. I don't know.
You can't twang it.
I mean,
I feel like
the city of Oaks, A-M-Z. Like, I don't know if Amazon really cares about being the city of Oaks. We have a lot of oak trees.
Maybe not.
Yeah. I don't know.
And I don't know how other companies would feel about that. Like, is Red Hat going to be cool with it?
They'd be like the Dunder, like Dunder Mifflin.
Dunder Mifflin.
I think Red Hat would be fine with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They can't be the only big name in town. I mean, there's actually a lot other than Red Hat that's there, but you know,
there used to be an Iron Yard there.
Yeah.
There did used to be an Iron Yard. Yeah.
Let's all have a moment of silence.
Okay.
So you've been married how long now?
I got married in 09. I had 09 was a really big year for us.
Summer, fall?
When? Fall, October of 09.
Halloween.
Middle, so October 17th.
Ah,
yes.
A great Halloween. Close. Like dress up.
And everything. You know,
oh my God. Yeah, that would be great.
But no, we had, I think it was planning our wedding is when I realized that I really was like an excellent project manager.
Nice.
If you could name something that could go wrong with your wedding.
Oh yeah.
It happened to us. Were you one of those brides that had the
big book?
Oh no. I was, so we had a really long engagement. We were engaged for 18 months and I did all of the preemptive work in the first 3 months. Yeah. So I didn't have to stress about it until we got toward the end.
Good for you.
And then the one like rule of thumb I can say to any bride out there is whatever is not done in that last month, no one is going to know. They will not realize nor care. And on the day of your wedding, no one is going to notice if something went wrong other than you. Like, no one cares. So stop focusing on that. But if something could have gone wrong in that wedding, like in the planning from our church venue that we were supposed to get married in, going bankrupt, to us losing our venue, like... Eight weeks before the wedding, to getting robbed during the wedding ceremony.
No!
Like, all of this happened.
How does that even happen?
It's not real.
That's actually kind of impressive.
Inside job. Inside job.
Inside job, really?
You have a movie. And that's what it'll be called, the inside job.
I think that was already a movie, though.
Okay, got to call it something else.
Yeah. Well, then the eye will be like a bouquet of flowers.
Oh.
Done. We designed it for you.
Excellent.
I love that.
Yeah, but there you go. So my husband and I have been married since 09.
So no kids, but do you have any?
Two dogs.
What are they?
Those are kids.
They are kids. So yeah. I have Dexter, the serial killer. He is 11, and he is a pit bull mix.
Nice.
He is
adorable.
The best thing possible, though he does kill possums. Like,
sure.
And brings them to me, which is interesting.
Brian does the same thing.
But when you live in like downtown Raleigh, you're like, where are you finding these possums? Where are they coming from? And don't they know better?
There are coyotes, wild coyotes in St. Pete, living in the city. You see them in some of the neighborhoods.
How'd they get
them
over the bridge?
Toll. Duh. Clearly, they have SunPass.
Oh, got it. This is not an advertisement for SunPass.
SunPass!
Hey, I love the SunPass because it works here, works in Orlando, works in Georgia.
You can get a SunPass everywhere. SunPass!
Are we trying to get a sponsorship from SunPass?
That's what it feels like.
I'll take it.
SunPass!
But because the other dog will know if I don't say her, then I have Josie. Oh, yeah. She's an Australian cattle dog.
Oh! Those are cool.
Yeah. We need pictures.
How old?
Like, it's going to happen.
She is 6.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And how old is your other guy?
11. We've had him since he's 6 weeks old. So I've had him through everything.
Nice.
Yeah. He also made the move from Jersey to
Jersey
Raleigh.
City.
Hoboken.
Ooh, I'm sorry.
I loved Hoboken.
Really? Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe it's different from when I was there.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's been a while since I was there, but I loved it when I was there. Jersey City was like, you don't go there. That's almost like saying you're in the Heights.
Yeah. Ooh, no. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Well, there's a whole musical about In the Heights now, so
see,
I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice.
So yeah.
So how did your talk go? Like, how do you feel it went? Did you enjoy it?
When you're up there, you kind of just blank. Yeah. Like, you just sort of just talk, yeah, and you realize, like, I'm done, and you don't know what the words were that you said.
Did you have a problem with the T-Rex on the top floor?
There was a T-Rex up there?
Yeah.
No.
Up there the whole time.
I was like, no, I didn't look or notice anything.
It's just Brian. He's up there.
I want to hug someone.
Yeah.
I tend to, I don't know, like, whenever I'm up on stage, like, I just kind of, like, zone out and just say the words, and I forget there's an audience there sometimes.
That's a good practice.
Awesome. Or like I'll find that one, I do love to call out people that are completely not paying attention. Like I have done that before.
That's amazing.
So
that's a good strategy.
I spoke at like this small meetup earlier in the year, and I was going through the whole like scope creep and everything else, and talking about how like there's always going to be that one person that's just not paying attention to a word that you say because they're so busy on their device that they're going to miss everything. And there was this guy that was standing like at the back of the room, and he's just like texting away, and I was like, yeah, you know, you lean against the wall and you're standing against the door and you just keep texting and like, you know, no attention to what's going on around you. You don't even realize when someone is talking
to
you. Oh, everyone turned and they're like looking at this guy, and I was like, you know, and it's distracting. It's distracting for the person trying to run the meeting. It's distracting for the people that are trying to pay attention during this meeting.
That's awesome.
And they don't even notice the fire.
And they don't even notice what's happening. And then everyone just kind of starts laughing, and then I stop and I was like, do you know what I mean? And he suddenly like looks up and everyone just cracks up. And I'm like,
that's awesome.
Anyway,
love that.
But yeah, like it's one of those things, like I'm not the type that can script my talks, like, yeah. I use visuals, and you know,
just do a rough outline.
I just do a rough outline, and then whatever kind of comes to mind is what I start telling. And a lot of times my talks involve stories and things like that. And that, to me, it feels like it's more like relatable for the audience, and you can get them a little more engaged and not playing on their cell phone the entire time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah. You know, yeah, every once in a while.
See, mm-hmm, I liked your talk, so.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, and I understood, so it's fine.
Yeah.
I like her methods.
Well, thank you. I didn't have to call you out. So see, you were paying attention. You were there. I like it.
Great. Well, I think we're just about out of time. Do you want to tell us how people could find out more about you, what your website and so forth?
Sure. So if you want to read anything that I'm writing about, you can go to iamtara.com. You can follow me on Twitter at @tcalledsimon. And yeah, that's probably the best way. Or Instagram, I'm also @tcalledsimon. So that is the best way to find me and see what crazy things I will post next.
Dog photos?
Always dog photos.
Yes.
Always like random like beer photos,
yeah,
or different bourbons. If you want to chat,
ooh,
like bourbon or
favorite beer.
I don't think you can just have a favorite beer.
Five beers.
Oh, he wants bourbon. I can do bourbon easier. I can tell you,
bourbon's
like,
better.
Okay. I can tell you, Bullet is my like everyday hang out.
Yeah.
If you gotta like bastardize it and like mix it with something, I would do Maker's. If I'm looking for
Kentucky Mule.
Yes.
Wow.
If I'm looking for something that is a little more like hard to find, but you don't want to put anything in it, you just want to enjoy that nice like 2 ounce pour, because I pour heavy. Blade and Bow. Yeah. Those are the ones that those are the ones I'm the fan of right now.
Do you have the ice cube?
I do. I do. It's the best.
I love the beer.
Oh
and
yeah.
The square.
Yeah. So nice.
Awesome.
And now that I know, we'll have to talk about it more after.
Yes.
All right. Isn't there a happy hour going on tonight?
Yeah,
there is.
Park
that
Rec.
You could totally join.
Which I don't know. Park and Rec is well, me. I'm not.
Wow. Wow, the shade is real over there.
I have the
so
place.
So love you, Park and Rec. Don't
have,
listen to this guy.
Everyone should go. I will go, but it's not my choice.
Go, everyone, and make sure that you're going to be at the Front End Design Conference tomorrow,
yeah,
April 20,
April 20 tomorrow. That's here. Oh, wait, hold on. Brian's grabbing some stuff.
It's 27. It's going to be the 27th.
We're going to do a toast in a second.
Cupcake toasting.
We're going to do cupcake toast.
Are we doing shots?
These are cupcake.
Are they alcohol?
I'm looking at them.
We're getting fed live, y'all.
Just to show.
Ooh.
It looks like there are cupcakes with,
I want
like,
the teal one.
With, I don't know what is in it. This looks like milk.
I'm going to do a milk.
Yeah, I want the teal one.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know.
Red?
Are we doing this?
We're going red.
Is this happening?
What do we do?
Well, I mean, why not?
So, yeah, what, how do
how
we
going to do this?
Wait, let me
eat the cupcake and then
like
down
you,
the milk.
I feel like you eat the cupcake
I don't know
and
what
then
that
drink
is.
The liquid.
Chocolate milk?
What is it?
That syrup?
It smells kind of like chocolate.
All right.
Okay.
We're doing this.
So, cupcake,
everyone.
Okay. Cheers.
You're not touching my cupcake.
Oh, jeez, weirdo.
It's milk.
Coffee?
Oh! Gonna get one of those.
Oh,
coffee.
Nice. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Okay, that's just a cupcake, and I'll just have the coffee there.
All right. Well, cheers, everybody. Thanks for
cheers.
Watching.
Cheers.
See you tomorrow. Jeez.
This is not... Call me!
Thanks again for listening to another episode of The Thunder Nerds. Please follow us on Twitter at ThunderNerdsHo, on Facebook at facebook.com/ThunderNerds. Go to thundernerds.io for our website and find links to our YouTube channel and Instagram from there. Please send us any ideas or comments to connect@thundernerds.io. And if you would like to support the show, go to patreon.com/ThunderNerds. Or send us an email if you'd like to sponsor the show. Lastly, please remember to go to iTunes to give us a like or review. We honestly and sincerely appreciate it.
I like romance novels. They have happy endings.
I should have known the Territor didn't mean us any harm when the Sword of Omens didn't obey me. And anyway, it was just plain stupid to assume it might be bad. Just what the fuck am I talking about?